just trying to fit too much into our day. You know, that's something that over and over and over I hear moms talking about in frustration. They just don't have enough hours to get it all in. And I totally have been there, and actually kind of dwelled there a lot. But about 2 or 3 years ago, David presented me with an idea that I hated. I hated it. It was awful. I didn't want to do it. I fought him on it, much to my chagrin. But it turned out to be a really, really good idea. So I wanted to share that with you. David came to me, like I said, about 2 or 3 years ago when I was in the throes of just really, really being frustrated and kind of at my wit's end as to how to do everything that God had put on my plate. And he challenged me to write out an inventory of every single thing that I did in the week and then to allocate an amount of time spent on that or an amount of time that should be spent on that for every single activity. And again, I didn't even think I had time to do it. He really forced the issue. So one Sunday afternoon between morning church and evening church, we sat on the bed after lunch and he really helped me put this thing together. And as I was writing, it became very, very evident that I was way, way overcommitted. In fact, by the time that all was said and done, by week's end, when I looked at everything that I had written down that I was supposed to be doing, or I thought I should be doing, or I wanted to be doing in a week, I had incredibly little time allocated for sleep. I just kept paring that back. And I had about 3 hours in the entire week that was not allocated for something. So there was very little room for margin, very little room for error, and that didn't even include just hanging out with the kids, just hanging out with David, ministering to families, doing anything that would just pop up. I was totally overcommitted. And so together, we, that night after church, really started evaluating all of those things that I thought I needed to be doing. And we started paring back the ones that just weren't for this season. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us that to everything there is a season. And in this season of my life, there are some things that I love that I'm just not able to do. And so we initially started cutting out some of those. And some of them I really didn't want to let go of. And yet, for the good of my family, for the good of the mission that God had given us, it was time to do that. We came out the other side of that with actually a much more manageable, much more comfortable allocation of time for me. But there were really 5 or 6 unbelievable benefits that came from taking the time to do this time inventory. And I wanted to share those with you because I think that they'll be an encouragement. And I really, really, really want to as much as I can encourage you to use the printables that I've attached and do this exercise, preferably with your husband as well, because part of the benefits that came into this you're gonna see have to do with him. So the first thing that I learned was I had agreed to do things that I shouldn't have agreed to do at this season of my life. I already kind of alluded to that, but you really are forced to confront that truth when you look at it all on paper. I did a Facebook Live video for our 365 members not long ago where we talked about there are things that other people can do. I need to let them do it. That may even be a great opportunity for me to come alongside and mentor and teach them to take things off of me to help them grow. There are just, you can't do everything in this season of your life. So that was the number one thing that I had to confront, and it really gave me great hope, and it allowed me to pour into other people things that I was just keeping on myself because it was easier, quite frankly. You know, it's often just easier to do it ourselves, right? The second thing is I came face to face with the reality of how much time I actually wasted just spinning my wheels because I didn't have a plan. So there were a lot of things in there that I allocated time for that really shouldn't have taken that long if I just planned it out and I just really attacked it strategically. But because I wasn't giving myself any margin, I wasn't giving myself any time to get ahead of things, I wasn't giving myself any time to just stop and think about what all needed to be done, I was wasting a ton of time. you know, you also see that you waste time doing things that, you know, are just not necessary, like, you know, scrolling through social media feeds or just mindlessly sitting there when you should be interacting with other people. That's one of the reasons I actually took Facebook and such off of my phone. I can still access them if I need to through a browser, but I found that I was wasting way too much time just scrolling through, and I legitimately didn't have the time. But because I was looking at how I spend it and I was really strategic about it now, I didn't want to give that time away. I wanted to be very strategic about every moment that God had given me, and this really opened my eyes to that. The third thing was I realized just how much of a time commitment homeschooling really was for me. We have four children. At that point, I had two in high school, one in middle school, and one in elementary school. And, you know, then you have two boys, which has a whole time factor of their own. Those of you who have boys probably completely understand what I'm saying. But actually looking at how much time homeschooling should take, first of all, it is a huge time commitment. That is one of the great costs of homeschooling. We all know that. We have to be willing to give it our time, to pour into our children. The benefits of making that time commitment are overwhelming, but it is still a time commitment. It gave me a lot of clarity because I was able to look at how much I needed for prep time. I had to acknowledge I need this prep time. This is an important thing. So I allocated time for prep time. That made our whole week go smoother. I then allocated time for teaching time. And I'll tell you in just a minute what I found out was kind of average what you can expect each grade level to need as far as hardcore academic learning time. We'll talk about that in just a minute because that is really truly eye-opening. But prep time, teaching time, the overseeing time when they were doing their thing, but I needed to be available so that I could answer questions or whatever. And then the grading time or the following up on projects. You know, I've said a number of times in here that you have to expect or inspect what you expect. I have to go behind. My job as a parent requires that I keep them accountable for what I have asked them to do and that I give them feedback and I follow up so that they know that the expectation is truly real. So learning exactly how much time this pursuit of home education was requiring was a great eye-opener. The other thing that was maybe the biggest benefit of this whole exercise was David and I got the same understanding of my time at the same time. So no longer was I just whining about not having enough time, but he fully grasped everything that legitimately was weighing on my time. And even when we removed the excess, I still am pretty busy. I still am pretty booked because I still have four children whom I homeschool, and I still am privileged to be a part of Teach Them Diligently because God called me to that as well. So we both came to the very same understanding of how my time should be spent, what the expectations are. He was able then to jump in, and we began working much more as a team on a lot of these things, where he would jump in and it wasn't so much physical activity that he was doing, but the emotional support of him understanding where I was and understanding how the kids needed to be functioning and understanding how all of us needed to be working together. You know, he has always been a phenomenal help in around our home and that kind of thing, but this just took it to another level of understanding as we both totally got on the same page about my time. So that was probably of all of them, that's the biggest benefit that I saw coming out of building this time inventory and trying to allocate my time according to it. And then finally, I was able to set realistic goals for how long each child should truly be working on school. I alluded to boys a minute ago. Those of you that have boys know that if you just set a boy down, generally speaking, if you set a boy down and tell him to do a worksheet or whatever else it is, you could come back 3 hours later and the four problem worksheet isn't done. Why? Because he's been fighting wars, he's been, you know, all this stuff is going on in his head, none of which has to do with the math on the worksheet. So I learned, and I already knew setting timers and doing stuff like that was a really big help for my boys, but now I started researching and I found exactly what was reasonable. Generally speaking, every child is different, but these are really good guidelines. I learned that kindergarten, pre-K kindergarten, you really only need about 30 minutes of academic instruction every day. Now, the whole world is their classroom. We all know that. One of the greatest things about homeschooling, preschool, and kindergarten is you see light bulbs coming on all the time. And so you are working with them constantly around the clock as you walk, as you talk, as you cook, as you clean, as you do all this stuff, as you go to the grocery store, as you play in the backyard. All of that is academic. They're learning. But it's not really that sit down and do school time. That really can be done in about 30 minutes of instruction, of mom's time. First through third grade really should only take about 1 to 2 hours of actual instruction time. You should be able to get in, teach them, have those academic discussions, and then be able to get back out. Now, again, are they going to be doing other things? Sure. But this is the time that you really need to be involved in overseeing and watching their education and actually giving them the instruction, the instruction that they need. Fourth and fifth grade, that goes up to about 3 to 4 hours. They're getting into more complex stuff, more or higher thinking and all of these things. The assignments are longer, all of that, it takes more time, but still 4 to 5 hours, when I know that for my family, if before I came and I learned this information and before I inventoried my time, our school day was stretching throughout the day because I wasn't giving them parameters on how long things should take. I wasn't trying to guide them and teach them to plan their time wisely as well. So 3 to 4 hours. Now, sixth grade and up, it varies so greatly because the work is so, so different. But the good thing is sixth graders, sometimes seventh, eighth graders, it depends on when that kicks in, you're gonna find them start to work a lot more independently. So you become much more of an overseer of their education than a deep participant in it. And they're able to research, they're able to find stuff, they're able to read and teach themselves a lot of things just by interacting with the material. So yes, their school day is longer, but your involvement doesn't have to be the entire time. You are overseeing and are able to then, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, work with the other kids in your family, no matter where they are. So a lot of these hour allocations are certainly overlapping, but they do give you an idea as you're setting your time inventory, how much each of these grades should actually take of your time. And again, most of the time, all of those are running simultaneously because I was floating from one to the other and making sure that everybody was staying on track. So just wanted to encourage you this week. Get with your spouse, take the time to write out what you do, what the expected time allocation for all of those things are. Really look at it look at it purposefully, and make sure that everything that you're putting into your time inventory is worth your time in this season. God has given you a great privilege to shepherd the hearts of your children, to teach them diligently and prepare them for the life that He's called them to after they leave your home. And we don't want to do anything that is going to make us less effective as home educators. And like I said before, cramming too much in our day is one of the ways that we really shoot ourselves in the foot. So have a great week. Get that done. I think you'll be amazed at how that will positively impact the way that your days flow. I think that that will make your homeschool year run so much smoother, and it's going to really help get you and your spouse on the same page. So go do it this weekend, right now, whenever you can, get to it. Have a great week. If you enjoyed this video, you've got to check out Teach Them Diligently 365. Every week, there are even more thorough videos and chats about things that are interesting to you year-round.